to not looking at it as growing old, but as growing into who you really truly are and doing it with a great attitude and living life to its fullest.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. And we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and tonight I'm here with two amazing guests. I'm so excited because it's a great topic we haven't really covered before, as well as I'm always thrilled to see you all out there, too. Thank you for being here and supporting the show. Let's jump right in because these guys are awesome. They really know their stuff. So let me introduce both of them, and then for the audio, they'll just say their name a couple of times so when they start to talk, so you guys can keep track. I know if you're watching on video, you'd be able to keep track because they do look different. So anyway, let's first introduce Servet Hassan. And she is an award-winning author of Life in Transition, An Intuitive Path to New Beginning, as well as The Intuitive Heart of Romance and Tune Him In, Turn Him On. Oh my goodness, we might talk about that, Servet, as well as the book we're going to talk about today, a brand new book that they co-wrote, she co-wrote with Mark Allen, is Growing Old Sucks, But It Doesn't Have To. And I was like, yes. So that's Servet. Say hi, Servet, so people can hear your voice.
Hi, Sharon. Nice to be on the show. Thank you for having me. Or asked.
Yeah, absolutely. And then let me introduce my friend Mark Allen. He is talks to people for a living. That's what he does. He's got over 30,000 interviews under his belt, and he is just awesome. He is an award winner as well for his talk show host and producer, and he interviews a lot of people now on Late Night Health. And that's a great show as well. He's a former restaurant and food critic and a foodie, and so am I. So welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you very much, Sharon. Nice to be with you. We appreciate your having us on the show.
Oh, absolutely. I'm thrilled because one of the things that showed up for me as I went through this, first the diagnosis and the shock and surprise and everything, but then I started getting symptoms that sort of weren't on the list, like sleep problems, some memory problems, things like that. Mm-hmm. And I had a couple of doctors, I'm showing my age here, but they said, well, maybe it's menopause, Sharon, or maybe it's just old age, Sharon. Mm-hmm. So I want to throw that out to both of you. I mean, I love your book, Growing Old Sucks. You've got lots of great tips and tricks in there, but I just want to jump right into the meat. What ideas do you have for us to be able to tell that apart? Like, should I be concerned? Is this a chronic thing or is it just part of getting old?
I'll start.
Yeah.
And I think that age is in your head. Okay. So I say in the book, and I'll say this now, that I don't feel any different physically than I did when I was, say, 28 or 30. Mentally, I feel better. I understand life more. I have a philosophy. My philosophy, and it's my personal philosophy, people are fetuses until they're 40 years old.
Okay, like explain that one, Mark.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you don't have enough life experience until you're 40 to say, gee, I'm an adult, I'm a grown-up.
I'm not sure I said that at 40, though. I mean, now that I'm approaching other ages.
Right. I didn't do that till I was 50, at least.
Okay. All right. I'll change my age, the number.
And then when I hit 60, it was like, you know what? I don't care anymore. I'm just going to be me, my true self.
Yes.
And that's what aging with attitude is all about. This book is all about aging with attitude. And I think when I finally hit 60, I was like, I don't care. I'm just going to be me, completely me. And if I'd done that sooner, you know, Oscar Wilde said youth is wasted on the young. And he's right, because I wished I'd known then. But this is the best time of my life.
I have to do a hear, hear on that. I couldn't agree more for myself as well. And I heard Mark chime in there that he was a bravo on that too, right?
No, absolutely. What really gets me are the couch potatoes. Well, I'm old now. I hate that. So you're old. You know, my father-in-law, it was in his mid-80s, and he went skiing with my wife. Skiing. Now, it's
interesting.
Yeah, bravo. I mean, he couldn't wait till he hit 60, because when he hit 60, he got a free lift ticket, right? So he gets up there. He gets up there and they say, oh, we're really sorry, sir. We've changed that. Now it's 65. He went back at 65. Then they made it 75. And finally, I think it was 82 or something, and he got a free lift ticket.
Well, long enough to get that free lift ticket, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Jeez.
But what motivates us?
Exactly what it is. It's motivation. You know, life is a learning experience. I have a note here someplace. I need to watch a couple of videos in the next day or two on editing technique and things like that, because I work as an editor, as a producer, and I end up editing videos. And I think that you can learn at any age. I did not always edit. I've been a producer for 40 years. All right, 45 years.
Well, I think part of this is that you've got to keep learning to keep your brain young. I think when you're firing new neurons together, you know, it keeps you alive. And even if you just, Mark, one of the things you mentioned in part of your editorial in the book is that you need to change things up. Like, instead of brushing your teeth with your right hand like you normally do, every couple of weekdays or so, you switch hands, because that teaches your brain something new and it keeps you going. It keeps you young. Not driving to work the same way every day, not doing
driving to work. Who drives to work? We walk, you know, you walk into your home office
right now. But not right now, but even driving to the store, you don't always have to go the same way.
Right.
You can switch things up, keep your mind active and young. But I do have to touch on something, Sharon, because you mentioned menopause, and there is manopause too, but Mark can take that one. At some point, your body is going to do things differently. And there's a process, and some women go through it very young. Someone go through it very old. You do have to address those things. There's an interview in the book with my sister-in-law, actually, who's an endocrinologist, and talks all about how we need to be aware of how our body is changing and make adjustments. And it doesn't mean you have to be old. It just means that you have to be forgiving and know and be more in touch with who you are. And that's kind of what aging with attitude is all about too.
I think that's an important point, because for me, what was interesting, that had not entered my mind. I was having symptoms. They must all be autoimmune. And then when the doctor said, I don't know, sleep issues could be menopause too. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden my mind just expanded in a way like, wow, I sort of think I'm open-minded anyway, but it was wonderful to have a new point of view. Like, you can't blame everything on your autoimmune. There are certain ways that your body's just going to be that would have happened without the diagnosis.
That's right.
Right. I know that, you know, we'll talk about menopause. When I was younger, when I graduated high school, I weighed 118 pounds. When I got married, almost 10 years later, I weighed 118 pounds. I will not give out my weight right now. However, it is more than 118 pounds. And just to give an example, my wife weighs less now than when we got married, by a pound or two. You know, that's after two kids, good. And which is terrific. Mm-hmm. She's really cute, and I love her, and wish we spoke the same language. But that's just a man woman thing, I think.
Right. But, you both speak English. It's just the gender thing.
Yes, right. It is.
That's
it
another is. Book.
It is. Our next one. Though Servette said she'd never write with me again. I don't believe it. But when I was younger, I could eat two Big Macs in a sitting. Two Big Macs. That's like almost 2,000 calories.
At least.
Of garbage and not feel anything. I can barely get if
sorry.
I don't eat them now on a regular basis. I, you know, once in a while, in moderation, I think it's okay. But I try to eat clean and healthy. Mm-hmm. And the last week or so, I have dropped a couple of pounds. I can feel it, but my body has changed. There's no question. I just have to accept it.
Yeah.
Well,
how do we accept it without accepting the attitude of age, though? I mean, it's an interesting juxtaposition to me that I accept that the body is changing, and yet I'm refusing to give in to anybody saying that I'm old or you can't do that because of your age.
I just think that when you get to a place where you have enough years behind you, enough experience where you now know yourself better than anybody else, and you know what you're capable of and not capable of, and screw you get to that place where I don't care what anybody else thinks about me, or you should get to that place, and you know what you think of me is none of my business, that kind of thing, and it doesn't matter anymore. The alternative is that you're dead. So if you're not dead and you're going to be living, be alive. Take advantage of every moment. And I'm a cancer survivor, so I take it to the nth degree, but I do not waste time. I will not waste a minute of time. There's just no time to waste. So when that comes up, like you're too old to do that, I just think to myself, that's your opinion. Thank you very much. And I move on and do whatever I'm going to do, you know, and live your life. It's your life to live as you choose.
Sharon, to reiterate what Servette is saying, think about, you know, sex. You know, when you're 20, you can't 18 times in a day, right?
Really? Well, at 50,
okay. We'll accept that as a premise.
Isn't that natural?
No.
Or normal? What is normal? By the time you're 50, for a guy, you're slowing down. You know, only 9 times, and maybe twice. You're lucky you get once a week. My point is that, yes, there are some things that are physical that you just have to accept, but it's not the end of the world. I know so many people, they hit 60, they hit 63, they hit 65, and they think they're dead. I know people who have lived literally for years and years, and we talk about it in the book, who do absolutely nothing, and they don't change. I know a guy, he's one of the smartest men I've ever met. He's also one of the stupidest.
Even just refusing technology. I am a senior, okay? And some of my senior friends, I go, let's Zoom, I miss you, let's have Zoom tea. And they're like, what's Zoom? Or walk me through getting on it, whatever. Right. I'm just like, come on, guys, get with it.
Yeah.
I know. I agree.
Mark interviewed someone in the book, Marvin. He's 93, and he works more than 40 hours a week every week, no matter what, you know?
Well, I do think it keeps us young. Even when I had my diagnosis, it was rare that I didn't work, because I had to keep that in my mind that because my work is my passion, as you guys know. It's absolutely my passion. And so what do? I add another thing onto it. Let's do a podcast and videocast besides my communications work.
That's
but
good.
To me, it keeps me healthy. It keeps me going. Because when you're working from your passion and feel like you have a mission, you can't say no.
you shouldn't say no. You should do what you want, what you feel in your heart you should do. That's part of the blessing of being older, is to take our gifts and run with them.
One of the things in the book, of course, is that people have the right to say no, mm-hmm. as we talk about senior sex.
Mm-hmm.
You could say no, or you could say yes.
Or say no to your kids. That's a positive.
Or not do work that you don't enjoy or love anymore, and not think that you can't not survive without doing something you don't like, that you can make money and be blessed and do things that you really, truly enjoy. You sort of lose a little fear as you get older, I think. It's easier, I think, to jump in and just do things.
Yeah, Michael Gerion talks about, I loved his book on the wonder of aging. In there was a line, and I'll paraphrase it because he's such an eloquent author like you two are. It's when you realize the road ahead of you is shorter than the road behind. And mm-hmm. I was just like, yes, and I got so much I got to get done.
That's right.
I just feel like I've gone into hyperdrive on so many of my passions. It's like, mm-hmm. I wrote the children's book and did all these other things. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
I don't have time to waste.
That's right. Right. Exactly. It's part of the process.
You know, one of the things that I think about all the time is what I want to accomplish. What haven't I accomplished? And how am I going to get to that end result?
Wow.
And it happens every day mm-hmm. that I constantly think, what am I going to do next? And there's so many ideas floating around in this old noggin of mine that I want to do. And I think I'm driven by helping others, you know, having a mindfulness and knowing that reaching out and helping somebody will help me. And I don't do it for that reason. I do it to help that other person. Because somewhere along the line, somebody will come along and help me.
Right.
What a great mindset. I want to have this, you know, we're talking right now to two amazing award-winning people in their professions. And they've got a great new book out called Growing Old Sucks, But It Doesn't Have To. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And I want you guys just to think, as the commercials go by, just spend a moment and ponder, what is your passion?
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's P-I-N-K-Y chenille.com. See you there.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with two amazing people, as well as their co-authors of the book, Growing Old Sucks, But It Doesn't Have To. Love the title because I'm a firm believer in that. And we're talking to Mark Allen. He's an award-winning talk show host and producer, just an author, and he's got over 30,000 interviews under his belt, and he's the host of Late Night Health, and also the co-author, Shervet Hassan, and she is an award-winning author of multiple books all about the intuitive path and new beginnings and transition, all sorts of things about life. And I love this book, guys. It just brought up so many things where part of me was like, yes, absolutely. And then other parts I've circled and said, my friend so-and-so needs to read this. Yeah. All sorts of things in there. But one of the things that I want to talk about a little bit is this idea of legacy. We were, before we took the commercial break, about legacy and, you know, getting things done before it's too late. So In your interviews and in your own personal lives, how do you view what a legacy is?
Wow, that's a good question, Sharon. I think for me personally, it's to leave the world a better place than it was before you came. And no matter how small or how big that might be, you know, you don't have to go out and be a gazillionaire. You could be a cookie maker who delivered cookies to people who couldn't buy them, but it made them happy and put a smile on their face, or for children, or for what, you know, whatever special way you have to leave the place a better world than it was before you came here. I think that's what it's all about. And essentially that boils down to love. It boils down to giving. It's not about what do I get out of that? Will I get it back? Will it come back to me somehow, some way? It probably will, but that shouldn't be your underlying motivation. It should just be about being of service and giving love and receiving it and blessing whatever you're doing with your heart and your soul. And that's, I think, how you kind of leave things in a better place than they were before you came here.
And I agree with Shervet, and she mentioned cookies. Think about Famous Amos, Wally
or
Amos.
Mrs. Fields, okay? Or Mrs. Fields.
He was an agent.
You know, Mrs. Fields did that. She didn't know how to do anything but make cookies, and her husband told her she'd never be a success because all she knew how to do was make cookies. Ha ha.
Right. Yeah. I hope she did. She leave him. Wally Amos was a talent agent, and he would send cookies to the set, to his clients, to producers, and it grew from there.
Right.
What a great way of changing the world.
Absolutely, and we don't have to change the world with cookies. If you, my view too is, I want to bring this down a little more close because some people say, "Oh, wow." That maybe that's like too much for them to take in, the idea that their cookies are going to change the world. I like the ripple effect. If you just change one person, you know, help one person, be kind to one person, show compassion to one person, and that idea of, you know, what, 7 degrees of separation, 6 degrees of separation, and especially now with internet, it's probably like 2 degrees of separation.
Right. But it's all about touching people's lives, no matter how big or small. That's why I said it's just being of service to others. So it's not about cookies. It could just be about listening to somebody, you know, or just being there for them, showing compassion and kindness. I think all of those things. Yeah.
Giving a smile.
Exactly.
Nowadays, although I know with masks it's a little hard, and my background's in body language, most of my listeners know.
Yeah.
And I've been talking about this idea of using your eyebrows because they open your eyes. And, you know, if you smile, your eyebrows go up naturally anyway. So smile under your mask and flash your eyebrows, because people will then know that you're smiling. So that's how you smile under a mask, everyone.
I was in the in a market a month ago, and a woman bashed into me by mistake, you know, cart to cart. And I she said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And I was smiling under the, and she said, "Are you smiling at me?" I said, "Absolutely. No worries."
Nobody was hurt.
And yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
What you guys are talking about really is the butterfly effect, yeah. Right? You know, a butterfly flaps its wings in Japan and causes mm-hmm. a tsunami on the coast of California. And we can do that with people too. Just that simple smile can change somebody's mood from sad, mad, mm-hmm. or bad into a happy experience.
For sure.
And so instead of going home and killing a kid, killing their husband, killing a wife, they go home and say, "I love you," which goes back to what Servette said about love makes the world go round.
Say goodnight, well, Gracie.
The book isn't all about these large, lofty topics either. I know you guys go into a lot of detail about actual physical types of things. And one of the chapters that you have is on exercise. Mm-hmm. And I've got friends on the whole spectrum, everything from working out every day hard, working out and then to the, well, if I ever get off the couch again and walk to the kitchen, that's my walk for the day. So talk about the need for exercise for people over 50.
You've got to move. You got to keep moving. It's our bodies are made to move. But like you said, there are people to the extreme. There are 80-year-olds running marathons. I am never going to run a marathon. I'm going to run two blocks and you're going to have to pick me up. But I will do other things that I enjoy. So I think my personal view on exercise is do what you like. Don't try to compete in something that you don't even, if you don't like running, don't run. If you don't want to play tennis, don't play tennis. Pick something, though, that works for you. If you like walking and you can power walk, go for it. If it's, hiking or if it's, swimming, getting in a pool, just pick something you like doing so you're not setting yourself up for failure. That's what I think.
And moving is all important. After say 50 and you're sleeping, you wake up, you get out of bed, you're a little stiff sometimes. If you keep moving, that stiffness will go away. If you can see behind me, there are two little blue things on my desk back there, my counter. And those are 2 8-pound weights. It's the only thing I have. It's not true. I think I have 2-pound weights. But I have the 8-pound weights. And 2 or 3 times a day, I'll do 10, maybe 20 curls. And it makes me feel good. I should be walking more, and I know that. But what we tend to do, even at any age, is sit. And sitting is the new cocaine.
I've heard the new smoking.
Wow.
I've heard the new cocaine. I'm not talking about high office sitting.
It was Mark Twain, I think, that said, walk your dog even if you don't have one.
Oh, that's a good line too. Yeah, walk.
I think it was him. I don't know who it was, but it was that, like, and I have a dog, so I'm forced to, do at least 3 miles a day. So, yeah, that's a good thing.
Well, I've seen in the neighborhood people. Yes. It's so interesting to me during the lockdown here. More of my neighbors have gotten puppies than I can count over the time that I've been here. It's just
right.
Like everybody's getting puppies. I don't have one, but
yeah,
one of these days I'll get back to traveling.
Okay. Would you want one?
Think about it on occasion, but to be honest with my lifestyle, although lifestyles have changed, I was traveling so much, wouldn't be fun. But yeah. I've been borrowing people's puppies. There's a little schnoodle down there, little schnoodle puppy. Oh, it's supposed to get about 10 pounds, but right now it's probably 2 pounds, a little fluff. I have no problem going down there to her house and borrowing her puppy.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe we could go into the business, Servette, rent a puppy.
But speaking of growing old socks, but it doesn't have to, which is on Amazon.com. My dog is about to turn 11, and growing old sucks. Because even for her, I can just tell she just naturally knows to slow down. You know, she's turning around now after half a mile or a mile. She knows her body. She pays attention to it. And if she wants to come home, I bring her home. She's not eating as much because she knows she can't. And she's just naturally flowing into the next phase of her life. You know, I had the puppy years, 5 years of puppy years, 5 years of athletic, you know, strong, powerful dog. And now I'm going to have a few years of the later life dog. You know, we're all going to go there. It's just we have to go there gracefully and with attitude, which means we're going to live our life the way we want to live it. And she's doing that. So she's teaching me a lot.
One of the things I've found about with attitude, and I love it, and I think you mentioned it a little bit, Trevette, was this idea of, I don't really care. I'm just going to speak my mind from now on.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we can do that with grace. We don't have to do that with aggression or malice in heart. But mm-hmm. I think that is one of the best things about getting old is just being able to really, you know, whatever. Right. This is how I see it.
Right. And it is, you know, what you think of me is none of my business. And you get on with your life. And that should be one of the tenets in spirituality. And it is one of the tenets in spirituality anyway, is to not be concerned about what your critics are saying and feel about you. Everybody's going to have a different opinion. You just have to live your life the way you want to live it. And you can do that with grace and you can do that with love. You just are honoring yourself. That's all, which is not self. It's not being narcissistic. It's being self-invested rather than being selfish. And I think that's really key because then you start to learn to say no to people and not do things that you really didn't want to do anyway, or hang out with people that you didn't really want to hang out with, or waste time doing things that you did when you were younger. You're not doing that anymore, hopefully.
Also called boundaries.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It is bandwidth. But you, even though that bandwidth is narrowing, okay, and this is not allowed for cable companies, you have to increase your width. But for people and their bandwidth, you can still do things. You can write, you can exercise, you can learn. And that's increasing your bandwidth. Even though you're, mm-hmm. you know, maybe physically, you're it's being narrowed.
Right.
And right. You can change.
We need to take our last quick commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk on a couple of topics. I touched on them a little bit at the beginning, sleep and things like that. So we'll be right back, everyone. And we're going to find out about this idea of sleep disruption and age. We'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Music.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and I'm here tonight with Servet Hassan and Mark Allen, and they are the co-authors of the book, let me read it to make sure I get it right, Growing Old Sucks, But It Doesn't Have To. I love it. It's filled with lots of life wisdom, as well as really how to do aging. And I mentioned it a little bit in passing at the opening, guys. I do want to circle it back around about your take on sleep disruption and aging, because I really found that part fascinating. So can you share a little bit about this idea of sleep disruption and aging?
Yeah, I've done a lot of interviews with sleep experts on late night health. And it seems that we should be getting 8 to 9 hours of sleep a day. So I'm going to ask my lovely co-author, how many hours do you get a night on average?
Yeah.
Okay. And Sharon,
probably
you're lovely
about
too.
Six, but there might be a disruption in the middle of that. So yeah, it's sleep has been disrupted.
Yes, it is. And I get about six. Last night, I went to bed early for me. I went to bed just after 11. I woke up, I thought it was 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
It was 12:30.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I woke up again at 2:30. And I normally sleep till about 5:30. And it's hard for me to go back to sleep. So I read and I fall back asleep and try to wake up around 7. I should be getting up at 5:30 and meditating, and I don't. And I know that. But sleep is very, very important. Even at you know, advanced years, you still need sleep. Not only physically do you need it, but mentally. And all the experts, the doctors, the psychologists, the alternative health people, all agree that sleep is important. My father used to say, I'll sleep when I'm dead. And of course, he died early, and I dedicated the book to him, my half of the book to him, because he had such a zest for life. He loved life. And he was cut short and didn't get a chance to grow old. Sleep can help in a number of things, physically, mentally, and it keeps you charged. I still have trouble sleeping. And I think you do too, Servetta.
No, actually, I don't. I'm one of the rare people I know who don't get up at least once during the night. It's rare for me. It's rare if I sleep straight through 6 or 7 hours, or sometimes even eight.
Well, that's good.
For that women, a lot of it is, as you get older, as you age, it is hormonal, and a lot of it is menopause. So because it's the night sweats, it's very common, and just, you know, your body's changing, and there's lots they can do for that. There's a lot of things they can do for that. So even just melatonin and things like that, but just adjusting your hormonal level and getting that in balance can help a lot with the sleep process. So if you're not sleeping, I suggest that you talk about it with your doctor so that you're not just plowing through and being tired, because oftentimes there's some underlying issue that's easily fixable.
Sharon, may I ask you a question? Because I'm not used to being on this side of the table. You're my 30,001 interview guest. But do you sleep through that 6 hours
it depends,
or not?
And that's my answer. I mean, it really depends on, I think most often, what's happening the next day is my best thing. If I've been able to settle down that night, like you're my third interview this day today. And so I had a lot on my mind last night. And did I sleep through the night? No, because all of a sudden into my dreams, wow, that's a great question. And I'd wake up and write it down in my notebook. So I think it really depends on how I have sleep hygiene the night before. Mm-hmm. Am I able to sit quiet, listen to some nice music, and clear my mind and just say that question, you know, great interview question will pop back in the morning or whatever.
Right.
Then it works. But if I go to bed kind of disjointed or frazzled a little bit, I can wake up 1, 2, 3 times a night. Yeah, really.
Yeah, I'm like you, Sharon. If I'm in production, you know, I have a studio shoot and I've got crew and people coming, and especially if I'm hosting, because I'm also directing, it's even more stress. And there's a good part of that stress, and then there's a bad part, and the bad part keeps me awake, just like you said. Ooh, I should ask that question. You
know? Well, I'm the only one here who doesn't do that. So I meditate. I stay very present, and I meditate every morning and every night, and I have for 1,000 years.
Which is why we wrote the book, because she is really 1,000 years old. She is
Exactly. But I take time every, I can't get up without meditating. That's another story. I'd be hitting the wall by noon if I didn't meditate. But my nighttime meditation is much more calming, and it revolves more around gratitude and thanksgiving and staying present in the moment and not worrying and not being in fear of anything, fear of the future, especially because most fear has to do with fear of the future. So I really go into a place where I don't worry about anything and go, I just knock off like that.
Wow. Awesome. Yeah. I have to listen to music and I like to journal. That's what some of my things I like to do.
That's meditation. Journaling is one form of meditation. You know,
I did not know that.
Yeah, it certainly is. Yeah.
Wow, because it's like a gratitude journal.
Speaking of journaling.
Exactly.
Yeah. Speaking of journaling, I had to go to a stationery store, and they have notebooks on sale for 35 cents. I'll share that with you both.
It's back to school. That's what it
is. Absolutely. And that's true. It doesn't matter what you journal in. I have a passion for some fancy handmade ones, but that just makes me feel good. And I'm lucky enough to be able to use them. You know, I'm one of those that learned long ago, and I know it's an old quote, but my Aunt Myrtle used to tell me when I was a kid, you know, we would sit down and I'd wear a hat and fancy white gloves and we would have tea on her best tea. And it was the best tea service, China, little hand-painted roses. I still remember it like it was yesterday. And, you know, she was going to use her best every day, and especially with her best friends. And that was, I was one of those lucky best friends to be able to use her best. I still remember it. And that's why I prefer, like, okay, journaling is important to me. I'm going to splurge.
Yes.
I didn't have an Aunt Myrtle, but I had an aunt.
There you go.
Good to remember those people. I mean, I want to be like my Aunt Myrtle now that I'm a grandma. I keep trying to channel her and how she made me feel. And to me, her legacy lives through me and all the amazing ways she changed my life. She taught me, you know, that the comfort zone is, you can't do anything extraordinary in your comfort zone. She just taught me so much that part of my legacy, as we circle back around about that idea of legacy, is, you know, I honor her in my own way, by everything she taught me, I'm trying to teach my own grandkids. And
nice.
I think that's a nice way to have a legacy.
Yes, nice. That's cool. Also, you know, that's one of my pet peeves is people who keep things and won't use them. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me that you have really nice jewelry, but you never wear it. It never leaves the bank. What are you waiting for? You know, it's like, or tea sets that you just keep in the china cabinet and never use, or maybe once a year you bring them out. It's like, I think everything should, if you have it, use it and enjoy it, take it.
Did either of you grow up in a family, and this is not a criticism, don't play in the living room, and the living room would be shrouded in plastic?
Not my personal nuclear family, but I had family members when we went to their home. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the kids were either outside or in the playroom in the basement.
Right.
And I still remember the crinkle of the plastic.
The other thing.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. The other thing was Thanksgiving and the kids' table. I hated
being
at the kids'
table. Oh, I love being at the kids' table now, though. The best place is to eat with my grandkids.
Well, now I would like it. Because the kids would be more interesting than the people at the adult table or so-called adult table.
For sure. Oh my gosh. Well, talking about eating and things, how does nutrition and supplements and those sorts of things change as we age?
Mark's a good person to ask about that. I totally believe that we just need to be healthy. I don't get into it quite as much as Mark does. He's big on supplements and things like that. But I think it's just about, I also am a cancer survivor too, like I said. So I'm really good about just being organic and trying to keep processed anything away from me. That's all.
Me too. I don't get, as an autoimmune thriver, that's my.
And, yeah, I don't get carried away with the other stuff.
I agree with the organic and eating clean. We're trying to reduce our animal protein intake. However, I don't believe that even organic foods have the nutrition that they did 100 years ago. And so I do believe in supplementation. I've talked to too many doctors, and that's MDs, DOs, chiropractors, nutritionists, you name it, that all believe that supplements and supplementation is important. I just did an interview with a cancer survivor, and she believes that the cancer has stayed away for over 10 years now because she supplements and uses high quality supplements. And so much so that she's started a company a number of years ago that provides supplements primarily to cancer survivors.
There's lots of tests you can get. We had Dr. Nasha Winters on, who talks about different types of testing to find out what you're low in, what you need supplementing, because that varies from person to person to know maybe you don't need a multivitamin, maybe you just need some C or some D or something like that. Or so I think it's important to talk to nutritionists and or someone type of other physician that works with those, because not every doctor understands nutrition.
Right. Also, I have to just caution people too, because it's becoming a little trendy to do the whole DNA, get that tested, and then they'll provide you with supplements for your particular
DNA. I hadn't heard of that.
That's starting up, and there's quite a few places that are doing it. It's almost like a multi-level marketing thing. And so be aware of those. If you're going to start doing that, make sure you do a lot of research and not fall into, you know, some scam.
And with the guidance of your medical and professional too, because they'll help you understand what's important to test and what's not important to test.
And we have in this country a vitamin D shortage. It's absolutely at epidemic levels. And you should always have your vitamin D level taken. I mean, the best way to get vitamin D is the sun. But people don't stay in the sun anymore because they're afraid of skin cancer and melanomas. And so the way to do that is in supplements, get a good quality vitamin D3. But you need to have that D level tested so that you know. And during stressful times, you can take more. Vitamin D has become, they keep finding out more and more what vitamin D does. It's a very important nutrient and should be incorporated into our diet.
And it's a simple blood test too. It's not,
it's not a big ordeal to find that out.
And it does change. What I was surprised about mine, I did have my D tested a while ago, and it was quite low, winter in the Pacific Northwest, no surprise, right?
Right.
But I was surprised at how fast it turned around. They had me take a relatively high dose, and you can overdose on it, so always have your physician tell you what your dose should be. But then after just a few weeks, they had me retest again, because you can build it up quite quickly, and then obviously we drop down the dosage quite a bit. So it is one of those things that's critically important, but you also need to follow up on it instead of taking whatever is recommended at the beginning. It may not be recommended after a few weeks.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Amazing. We're down to just the last 5 minutes, guys. I want your final thoughts on growing old and why it doesn't suck, as well as where people can find the book and find out more about both of you.
Well, you can find the book, and it's right now on special at 99 cents for the Kindle version at Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.com, type in Growing Old Sucks. That's all you need. And we should pop up as number one or number two. You'll see a book with our pretty faces on it. And we're very excited about the book.
Right. I just think we also have a website. It's growingoldsucks.com that has a little short video on what the book's about. If you don't know or don't want to go to Amazon and read, it's like a minute and a half. And also you can order the book there as well. So growingoldsucks.com. And then also said,
don't try this at home, folks. She is a professional.
I really want to open people up to not looking at it as growing old, but as growing into who you really truly are and doing it with a great attitude and living life to its fullest, because be you to the full is what really is being beautiful inside and out.
I love that.
So I think that's what my message is. And I'm going to try and promote that, especially for women, and talk about, you know, because you start to go through menopause and you think you're kind of useless after that. And you're definitely not. It's the best time. That's when life begins. And I want people to know that and help them, you know, jump off that bridge onward and upward.
Oh, fantastic.
It's getting over that hump.
Over that.
And what society mm-hmm. has said, you're old, you're useless, go just sit and vegetate and not meditate, vegetate. And I'm against that. You know, we don't want to anti-age, because Servette and I both agree that anti-aging is dead. If you're not, because we all age. You age from the time you're born. And as we grow from stage to stage, there's always a way to make that the best part of your life. You know, people who are in their 60s and 70s saying, high school was the epitome of my life. Oh, it was so good. That's great. But this can be the best part of your life as well. And find out more by going to growingoldsucks.com.
Right. And also, you know, you don't have to be a certain age to read the book. You can be young and read the book. It's just full of good tips about, like I said, just aging with attitude. Because really, honestly, like Mark said, we start aging when we're born. But our hearts start to deteriorate. The average person's heart starts to deteriorate once you hit 25. So, I mean, you kind of slow down, and some people think they're old when they're 40, and they're not. So it's all about just getting the most out of every day and living your life to the fullest, like we said.
Absolutely.
And unless you're like me, I'm sorry, Sharon, unless you're like me and people say I haven't.
We know better, Mark. Yeah. Mark and I are longtime friends. We know better.
Yes.
We are. Yeah, we should mention that Sharon and I are members of the Evolutionary Business Council, and Sharon is much more active in it than I am. But it's the EBC has brought me many, many friends, including
and
you
and Servette. Absolutely.
Thank you.
I think that's important. We have just a minute left, but I want to close with this idea that you just brought up, because it's important to maintain, find, and create community, regardless of our age, but especially now during this time. Yes. You can still meet community via video conferencing and things, guys. So community is one of the things that keeps me young and vibrant and learning.
Absolutely.
All the people I meet in community, oh my gosh, I learn constantly from them.
Right. And one of the things we mention in the book is that it's important to have a wide range of age-wise range of friends, because young people do keep you younger. Being around children, even grandchildren, I mean, it's nice to be in touch with people at all stages in life.
Absolutely. It is true. We're out of time. As you could tell, Servette and Mark and I could just talk forever. And thank you so much. I love the .com, growingoldsucks.com. I don't know how you scored that one in this day and age, but that's a great one. Everyone, have a great week. Whatever your adventures, join me next week for another brand new episode of the Autoimmune Hour. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenil and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenil.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.